Yeah, so a driving force with all of our innovation has been we want to do things slightly different than our competitors. So if you've completed a, you know, DISC profile or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram, those are some of our key competitors. The typical journey in that is you complete some questions and a questionnaire, could be very long, could take up to an hour and a half. And then that journey ends whenever you get a PDF report. And often those PDF reports die in a desk drawer, or they may get printed, or you just forget about them on your computer, and they're not really used on a day in and day out basis. So what we really wanted to do was make behavioral insights stand the test of time, are more usable, and we do that through dashboards, more customizable reports that can be generated on a company basis, or insights that can be more contextualized based on if you're using it to make decisions about your money or your finances.
Welcome to the AI Marketing Navigator, where we simplify AI marketing to keep you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by Digital Pop, delivering AI marketing automation so your small business thrives. Here's your host, Alex Carlson.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, today we are exploring the fascinating intersection of AI, behavioral science, and personalized marketing with someone who's been at the forefront of this technological evolution. Our guest today is Ryan Scott. He is the head of product at DNA Behavior, a company that has transformed from traditional personality testing to an AI-powered behavioral intelligence platform. Ryan brings a unique perspective shaped by his 15-year journey at DNA Behavior, where he's helped the company evolve through multiple iterations to become a leader in applying behavioral insights to business and marketing. With his background in both technology and behavioral analysis, Ryan has pioneered innovative approaches to personalized marketing that leverage AI to predict and respond to individual behavioral styles. So today we will explore how DNA Behavior is using AI to revolutionize personalization. Discover the journey from conventional personality assessments to AI-driven behavioral predictions. And we'll learn practical strategies for implementing behavioral intelligence in your marketing efforts. Ryan, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome to the AI Marketing Navigator.
Thanks, Alex. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So let's dive right in just with a little bit of history on the journey of DNA Behavior. You've been with DNA Behavior now for 15 years. So you've got to witness the evolution from, you know, a traditional personality testing based platform to now an AI driven platform. So can you walk us through that journey a little bit, maybe the beginning of DNA Behavior, touch on that, and then the key milestones that have kind of brought you guys to where you are today?
Yeah, happy to. Yeah, so whenever I started DNA, the business actually started in Australia, and Hugh Massey, the founder, he moved it to Atlanta because we were doing a lot of research work at the time with Georgia Tech. I happened to be a student at that point, and they were at the process of needing a few interns to help with some bulk data processing. So I thought it would be an interesting first job. I applied, and the rest is history. That first project is quite interesting because it kind of tells a little bit about our journey. Back in the day, I mean, there was a lot of people that were completing behavioral profiles that didn't even have a computer, no internet connection, and definitely no email. So they were actually faxing in PDF reports or PDF forms where they've actually checked the box or ticked the box of a questionnaire. And then we used to use a lot of interns in order to manually key that in and then process it on a server that we had in our office and then send back the results. So that's kind of how it started. The company has had about four different evolutions. We've kind of built onto it as we went along. So our first instance, it really was just workplace talents. Then we added a lot of behavioral finance insights. And then we differentiated ourselves with the money insights that we had, started to do some financial services work with enterprises. Then we built one platform that combined the two. So then we had business insights and the financial behavior insights all in one platform. We rebranded as a behavior and money insights company with that launch. And then now we have a whole new process that's all AI driven. And then now we're much more enterprise grade and more big data centric. So that's kind of shows the journey of how we've iterated four times and why I didn't get bored just working at the same company for 15 years.
Of course. That's amazing. I love the story of how flexible and adaptable that DNA behavior has been, and how key that I think that has probably been to your guys' success. What were some of the early signs in that fourth iteration, in this latest iteration? What were some of the early signs that AI was going to become crucial to DNA Behavior's business model? And kind of an attachment to that question, what was the first major aha moment with AI that kind of convinced you that this was the next direction that DNA Behavior was going to take?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a driving force with all of our innovation has been, we want to do things slightly different than our competitors. So if you've completed a, you know, DISC profile or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram, mm-hmm. those are some of our key competitors. The typical journey in that is you complete some questions and a questionnaire, could be very long, could take up to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And then that journey ends whenever you get a PDF report. And often those PDF reports die in a desk drawer, or they may get printed, or you just forget about them on your computer. Mm-hmm. And they're not really used on a day in and day out basis. So what we really wanted to do was make behavioral insights stand the test of time, are more usable. And we do that through dashboards, more customizable reports that can be generated on a company basis, or insights that can be more contextualized based on if you're using it to make decisions about your money or your finances, or if you're in a new relationship and you want to work with your new spouse, or, you know, if you're in a new job and you want to work more with your manager. That's kind of how we differentiate ourselves, is just using more of the data that's behind the insights in order to help people make better decisions. So some ways that we've used that, and some early signs of how AI can be leveraged, is that if you imagine in our business, it's a B2B2B business. Mm. So there's an intermediary. You have an affiliate that's typically the coach or consultant. They're the ones that are trained in the boots on the ground. So our business is all about attracting and signing up new coaches and consultants that can use our platform. They're the ones that ultimately know the enterprise relationships and are on the boots on the ground there. So our job is to make our platform as easy to use as possible for them, because they're the ones that are actually using it to generate the ultimate win for the client. So there's a lot of switching costs for firms whenever they want to switch to a new provider. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine, if you're a coach or consultant out there and you've worked at a large company like AT&T or Coca-Cola, we do a lot of business with Cox Enterprises in Atlanta, they could have thousands of DISC reports or Myers-Briggs reports for all the employees there. And it's all spun into that language. So we knew early on that if we could build a translator or an approach to import in other reports into our system, it immediately reduces the friction and switching costs. The other issue that you would have is a leader or a manager may be interested in using the insights, but they have only gone to training, you know, with DISC profile, or Berkman is another one that's quite popular. So they would only know the insights names and the unique styles and profile types in that particular language. And we've used AI a lot to contextualize our insights with what they're used to seeing in these other platforms. So we started to see these like early signs of like, wow, if we could use AI to really speed up the sales and marketing of our platform, we could grow our market share quite quickly. So we've kind of gone on that journey quite a lot. And then we've started small with, you know, doing support features that we can talk about later in this chat.
Sure.
And we've kind of built on from there.
Amazing. I want to dive a little bit more into what it looks like organizationally when you take on AI as an organization. You've described the team at DNA Behavior as highly innovative and creative, and having a bit of a philosophy of banging the desk about adopting AI when it comes to its importance. How important has that organizational culture been in successfully implementing these AI solutions that have been so impactful in managing all of this disparate personality data that you just talked about?
Yeah, so we use our insights on our own team and our own business. So one thing that we've realized is that there were some people that were on our team or have been along for the journey that weren't really suited for the fast pace and innovation that really AI brings us.
Interesting.
Is that we had to make some hard decisions and choose people that are very adaptable in order to you know, on the, be on the team long term. So that's one of the things that's been really interesting with using our own insights and AI, is it's quite frightening for some people if they're not, if they're hesitant to change or resistance to, you know, new tech. That's really difficult to find a spot for them in a smaller tech company where you're constantly innovating. And then along the way, we've just had to, you know, work around a lot of limitations with some of the models and, you know, costs and some of these AI tools. And we've, you know, just learned a lot of lessons with that.
Amazing. You mentioned the kind of the costs and the limitations with the LLM. What other challenges still kind of remain in the field of as far as behavioral prediction, and even with these advanced AI capabilities, what are some of the obstacles that are still in front of you? What data challenges specifically still remain?
Yeah, so like some of the early on stuff that we've had to work around is from a cost perspective. You know, about a year and a half ago, the costs were completely different to what they are now. We're seeing that the costs of running some of these models, especially since there's a lot of models that you can run locally, the costs have gone down dramatically. So whenever we first were starting, I think that we didn't really understand how to do things on a smaller scale just to test it out. Or we were doing it in the wrong way, maybe processing too much data or using, you know, having LLM models, you know, scan huge documents where we really just needed a quick answer. So that's some things that we've learned along the way. We're doing a lot of standardization and data processing actually on local machines now. So before we get it into the cloud or get it into the hands of an LLM, we'll use Llama models that are just running locally on a computer. And we will just, you know, streamline all the data into CSV files before we load it up into a cloud service. That's really helped us save a lot of money on costs.
I love that.
Doing R&D with custom ChatGPTs before we put them into a paid API model. That's another way that we've learned. And then also just changing a lot of our responses from the custom APIs. So they're all JSON based, not unstructured text. That's also just reduced the amount of hallucinations that we're getting out of the model, and just keeping it so it's, you know, very short responses that are not super, super costly.
Amazing. So much technical goodness there for any of you listeners out there who are looking to streamline and save costs. Those were great insights. Thank you, Ryan. Clean up the data before you're feeding it into these APIs, before you're feeding it into the high cost LLMs. Do what you can locally with either custom GPTs, Llama-based open source models. Just so much gold there, listeners. Take notes for sure on that section. Let's move into a little bit more of DNA Behaviors. One of your guys' core offerings, Digital Scan, which is really kind of bringing in the AI power to your behavioral prediction. And can you give us a little breakdown exactly what is Digital Scan? How does it work? As far as this AI tool that predicts these behavioral personas?
Yeah. So if you think about our business, let's just take a step back about what the data that we have and what we're trying to do. So traditionally, our business, as I was mentioning at the beginning of this call, is very much just individuals going in, completing questions in a long questionnaire, and then those get stored in a database. Regardless of if somebody completed their profile on a PDF file that was faxed in 15 years ago or a week ago, that data is backwards compatible in our database. So over time, we had about 3.5 million responses for that questionnaire, and they're all compatible with each other. So we have insights on, you know, how someone approaches decisions and works in the workplace, and are they creative or commanding? Are they patient? Are they trusting? All those kinds of core behaviors. We have 3.25 million people in the system and 4,000 insights that measure them. So it's a pure machine learning algorithm that we were able to develop on that. So we were able to analyze the insights that describe someone and how we could predict those insights using pure demographic data. So what we're able to do is develop this custom algorithm that whenever you have an input of a person's name, and job title and some information about their company and background, we can predict those same insights as if they were completing the traditional questionnaire. And we wanted to make everything so it was seamless and backwards compatible, because then if someone had completed a profile behind that, yesterday, we'd be able to compare, you know, how well the insights work well together, how accurate it is. And also, if you want to do comparisons between two people or people on a team, you could do that whether if someone was digitally scanned or did complete the full questionnaire.
Amazing. That's fascinating.
Thanks for listening to the AI Marketing Navigator. Ready to simplify your own marketing automation? Digital Pop helps make it happen so your small business can scale your marketing fast. Learn more at thedigitalpop.com.